Brothers and sisters, welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church for worship as we gather in the name of Jesus. Welcome to those listening on podcast, to those who have been here many times, and welcome to those of you who are here for the first time, although I think I recognize everybody that's here, so unlikely. This is the house of the Lord, and everyone is welcome in it. Please stand with me if you're able and turn to number 90 in the Prairie Street Sings song folder, All Who Hunger Gather Gladly. Carolyn Smith will lead us. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in their season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Let's pray. O God of abundant mercy, thank you for feeding us today and every day. We are mindful that there are many types of hungers. Meet our needs, meet the needs of our neighbors, and help us to meet the needs of our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the blue song folder, number 39. Number 39.
Oh,
And in the same book, number 86. Number 86.
Confession is truth-telling, stating truth about ourselves in relationship to God and each other, and truth about God. In confessing our sins, we confess who we are, and we also confess who God is. Our confession today is about God, telling the truth about God. So please turn with me to number 713 in the blue hymnal. We will read this together. Again, 713. Join me. We believe in Jesus Christ, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory. We believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, who creates and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver God's people in time of need, who desires everyone, everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of peoples and nations, who continues to love us even when we turn away. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the Church, who gives us the faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the world, who assists those who are renewed in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us a people to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to be repentant, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile people to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the ruler of all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of Christ's glory.
Please stand and hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God created you. God loves you. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you. So, in the assurance of that love, let us share Christ's peace with the world and each other, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and respond. I invite the children forward for children's time with Janice Wiebe Ohlenberger.
Okay, let's pass the basket around for you to share what God has given you to share. Wonderful. Today we have a story from the Bible, and this story is in a book of the Bible. And the Bible is the most important thing we as Christians have, because it tells us stories and words about who God is, what God does, and how we can follow God. This story specifically is in John chapter 6. And it tells the story about Jesus. And Jesus was very tired. I think I have to adjust this. Sorry. Let's try that. Are we okay? So Jesus was tired, and so Jesus went up into the mountains to rest. And as he was there looking over the valley from up high, he saw lots of people coming towards him. Huge crowd of people. They had heard that Jesus healed people, and so they wanted to know they wanted to be healed too, or maybe their family or friends. Jesus turned to one of his disciples who was there with him, and he said, "Where are we going to get enough food to feed all of these people? They're going to be hungry." And Philip said, "I would have to work for 6 months to have enough food to even give them a little bit." Andrew was another disciple of Jesus, and he said, "There's a small boy here who has five loaves of bread and two fish." And so Jesus told his disciples, "Why don't you ask them to all sit down in the grass? You have to pretend this is the grass." And when they all sat down, there were 5,000 people who came to see Jesus, and they were all hungry. Jesus took the loaves of bread and the fish from the little boy, and he blessed it, and he thanked God for the food. Then he took that bread and that fish and gave it to his disciples. And the disciples, he told the disciples to pass out the bread and the fish as much as each person wanted. Everybody could have as much as they needed. And so after they were full, Jesus told the disciples to go around and pick up all of the leftovers. Could there be leftovers? There were leftovers. 12 baskets full of food that was left over from those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The people were amazed. A miracle had happened right then and there. All of these people were full of food, and there was left over. God had provided what was needed. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this wonderful story about how you provided for these many people. We thank you for how you provide food for us and the things that we need. Be with each of these children and provide for them too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to go ahead and do what we've done other Sundays, and that is to go back behind the sanctuary.
From John 6, 5 through 14. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little."
Juan 6, 5 a 14. Cuando Jesús alzó la vista y vio que que una gran multitud se acercaba a él, le dijo a Felipe, ¿dónde compraremos pan para que estos coman? Pero decía esto para ponerlo a prueba, pues él ya sabía lo que estaba por hacer. Y Felipe le respondió, ni 200 denarios de pan bastarían para que cada uno de ellos recibiera un poco.
One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted.
Andrés, que era hermano de Simón Pedro, y uno de sus discípulos, le dijo, aquí está un niño que tiene 5 panes de cebada y 2 pescados pequeños. Pero, ¿qué es esto para tanta gente? Entonces Jesús dijo, hagan que la gente se recueste. Había mucha hierba en aquel lugar y se recostaron como 5,000. Jesús tomó aquellos panes y luego de dar gracias, los repartió entre los discípulos y los discípulos entre los que estaban recostados. Esto mismo hizo con los pescados y les dio cuanto querían.
When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world.
Cuando quedaron saciados, les dijo a sus discípulos, recojan los pedazos que sobraron para que no se pierda nada. Entonces ellos los recogieron y con los pedazos que sobraron de los 5 panes de cebada a los que habían comido, llenaron 12 cestas. Al ver aquellos hombres la señal que Jesús había hecho, dijeron, verdaderamente, este es el profeta que había de venir al mundo.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is Pastor Francis. Let's pray for this time together. May Francis's words and thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Have you noticed that in the gospel stories, how regularly the disciples seem clueless about what Jesus is doing? Almost every time. In fact, I found myself trying to think of a story where they were on the ball and they understood what was going on. And Jesus gives them an opening. He gives them an opportunity. The text says he tested them. Where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat? Now, by this point in John's gospel, they have seen Jesus turn water into wine. And they have seen Jesus heal people. And after all, they
have decided to leave their lives and follow him, so they must think there's something special about Jesus. Wouldn't they suspect by now that maybe Jesus had something up his sleeve? Jesus was up to something. But whatever else, they're honest and practical. And Philip says, 6 months' wages would not buy enough food for each of them to get a little. There is something comforting, or maybe even really important, about this pattern of the disciples in the telling of the Jesus story. These were the ones who were the closest to Jesus, and they didn't get it. Jesus was out ahead of them, living into a reality and possibility they couldn't imagine. I find it reassuring. You don't have to be the smartest or the best or have it all together to be a real follower of Jesus. Despite our limitations, despite our shortness of vision, of seeing only what's in front of us with conventional wisdom and with a sense of nothing but our own resources, caught in the smallness of our own thinking, we are still included in the story. There's room for us. Now, Jesus does ask them to do something they can do. Their job is to make the people sit down and distribute the meal that Jesus provides. Now, the disciples are called to do what they can do. And if you think about it, that's probably not such a small thing. Imagine trying to get 5,000 people to sit down. As we are followers of Jesus, maybe we need to be ready to take the steps that we can take. Move with what we can. Do the things we see to do. I think as Prairie Street Mennonite Church, we can reflect on this. One view of this story of the multiplying and the loaves and fishes is that, in fact, when the 2 barley loaves and 5 fish were broken and blessed, those who had brought along their own supplies began to openly share as each took out what they had. And in that sharing, there was abundance. The abundance of bread came from the crowd beginning to open up and distribute food supplies they carried in their own bags, baskets, and pouches. I resisted this perspective when I first heard it from a friend years ago. She said that would be the greater miracle, getting people to share freely. I think at that time, I wanted it to be Jesus all the way. No tampering with the story of Jesus working a miracle. And yet, now, on further reflection, I do find myself asking, which is greater? Supernaturally creating an abundance of bread and fish, kind of done there and been there, done the manna in the wilderness, or is it greater to change human hearts towards generosity, kindness, and compassion? And then you start wondering who was in the crowd. Were there merchants carrying loaves and fish for market? Was there a large family group traveling on the road who might have shared their supply? Many baskets, pockets, bundles of bread, sacks of fish, maybe a week's supply. Or what about someone who maybe took a single slice, a small chunk of bread, and yet broke it and passed it on to a neighbor? Could it be in the hand-to-hand breaking and sharing out of simple actions that a miracle is manifested and all are fed as much as they need? Bread is an interesting image in the scriptures. There seems to be a movement through bread stories in the Bible. Many commentators link this event in the Gospels to Moses providing manna in the wilderness, which clearly was a work of providing food where there was none. And then we have the temptation story in the wilderness. Satan saying, "Make these stones into bread." And it's interesting that Jesus actually does then have this multiplying of the bread. But Jesus' response there is, "No, you don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And well, Jesus is the Word. And then you have the bread in the upper room. Bread that is now fully Jesus himself. My body. It's me. This is what I bring and share and what will be broken. If Jesus is to be king, and the people seem to want a king, which way of seeing the miracle most represents the kingdom that Jesus brings? The people in the crowd wanted to make Jesus king by force. They wanted someone who could make bread appear anytime it was needed. And Jesus fled. That's not what he came to offer, abundance of loaves and fish. And later in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." So now, I wonder if maybe, it's not an either or. Bread supplied by spontaneous appearance, or bread supplied by miraculous sharing. Maybe Jesus provided bread like manna, bread where there was none. And maybe people began sharing and pulling out what they brought along. And maybe there's a message for us at Prairie Street in that interpretation, too. Jesus supplies, brings miraculous help to our situation. And maybe we participate. When it comes to being church, the two come together. The Spirit moves and provides, and we respond and bring what we have. And now, what about the fragments? Such an interesting detail in the story. Jesus told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." That nothing may be lost. It's part of the miracle how Jesus cares for the fragments following the feast. He sees the abundance that remains in the fragments. We might think the marvel of the story is that there's enough for everyone. And yet, for Jesus, there is more. Paying attention to what has been left behind. Tending to what is broken, left over, and easy to ignore. I think about those loaves of white bread that stack up on the pew in our hallway. Bread that has worked its way through the system, bypassing grocery shelves, bypassing the larger food pantries, coming to the end of the line when Margaret brings them here. Truly fragments of the food supply system. Fragments most of us pass by, ignoring the randomly stacked loaves of white bread. But a few weeks ago, I went into the kitchen after the worship service, and there was Leo toasting piles of white bread, offering warm, crisp slices with a smile, and strawberry jam too, if you liked. I gladly took one. Something had happened to the white bread. It became food, shared, passed hand to hand, presented as a gift, and that made all the difference. The fragments of white bread became delight and fellowship. Jerry Miller applied for a job at Culver's 4 years ago. And you know what? They didn't want to hire him. Maybe they thought he was too old. Maybe not enough of something. They thought they needed energy, stamina. They saw Jerry maybe as a fragment. But it turned out there was someone there who knew about Jerry's work at Essen House. And they intervened and pointed out, you want to hire this guy. Jerry started. And being Jerry was cheerful, smart, energetic. Folks noticed. Jerry had ideas about how things could be done better, and Jerry was an encourager. This July, at the age of 80, Jerry was sent to Culver's Management Training School in Wisconsin. Jerry turned out to be a pretty good loaf. But here's the good part, the fragments. There were folks at Culver's who maybe hadn't had a cheerful, smart, hard-working person in their experience. Folks who were maybe used to just getting by, cutting corners in their lives, who hadn't seen joy in work well done. And those younger men and women in the management training, looking to make a better life, figuring out what that looked like, what it meant. And Jerry didn't end up just being staff at a fast food restaurant doing a good job. I believe Jerry has changed lives and is changing lives. Talk to him about the young people who want to be on his shift. Maybe it was Jesus honoring and caring for the fragments of themselves that made those slow to understand disciples eventually heroes and martyrs for the faith, spreading the Jesus story far beyond the small dusty area that Jesus walked with him into the broad world of many continents. Maybe the fragments gathered up in the story are like the fragments of our lives, those leftovers of an idea, a hope, a dream, and the daily demands of life have used up most of our loaf, and there are just bits and pieces left. Not much. But Jesus desires to gather them up. Gather them up so that nothing may be lost. Sometimes it feels like we're working with fragments here at Prairie Street. Not enough money in the budget. Not enough people to help. Not enough time to take on the task. Not enough energy. A broken neighborhood, a broken city council, and a broken world. Jan Richardson writes blessings. And she has written a blessing for fragments. Cup your hands together, and you will see the shape this blessing wants to take. Basket, bowl, vessel. It cannot help but hold itself open to welcome what comes. This blessing knows the secret of the fragments that find their way into its keeping, the wholeness that might hide in what has been left behind, the persistence of plenty where there seemed only lack. Look into the hollows of your hands and ask, what wants to be there? Gathered there, what abundance waits among the scraps that come to you? What feast will offer itself in the fragments that remain? May Jesus himself gather together all our fragments, break them, bless them, and distribute them to feed and nourish the many hungers of the world. Alleluia. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to number 475, and let's stand up to sing.
Thank you. I'm Pastor Carolyn, and this is the time in our service when you get to talk back. Tell how God is working in your life, maybe offer feedback to Frances on her sermon. Share what you pray for and what you give thanks for. If you raise your hand, I will bring the microphone to you. And we ask that you keep it brief and Christ-centered. And maybe keep in mind, too, that there are little ears listening.